This morning, I was all set to go into a Galatians message for you today, but God intervened. So on Father's Day, I want to bring a message to our fathers. And so, dads, this message is for you. And I want to talk with you this morning about the influence of a godly dad. And we'll jump back into our Galatians study next week, but I really want to speak to the men today about being the influence of a godly dad. Part of the reason why a message like this is so critically important is we live in a society that increasingly devalues the masculinity and manhood of men. And you turn on any sitcom, men are portrayed as immature boys. Fathers are often portrayed as nothing other than a beer gut buffoon. And I'm extremely grateful for my dad. All that my dad gave me, and I want to show you a picture of my dad. So both of these pictures, when I was reflecting on this, really came within the last year and a half that he was alive. So this was just the picture that you can see on the left is my parents we were getting ready as a family to celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary. And not too many years ago, my mother-in-law had taken the other picture, and this is at my ordination in Des Moines, Iowa, at First Assembly in Des Moines. And it's really one of those pictures. I mean, I treasured it because it's the moment of my dad hugging me at my ordination. And I treasure those pictures. But I'm so grateful for my dad's influence, because my dad, you could get him into a politics conversation 0 to 10, just like that. My dad had convictions, and my dad had humor. My dad was the guy at the workplace that people wanted to go visit at some point because my dad had a new joke. And so there is a part in my life when it comes to humor that it drives Pastor Stacy absolutely bonkers at points, but she has to take it up with my dad because we become, in part, like the parents who raised us. And I am so grateful for all that my dad really gave to me. Even in the years that he was wandering spiritually for himself, I never had to question the priority that he brought to Jesus and to his word and to God's word. He may not have shown it an example, but there's parts enough in my conversations. I knew that there was an anchor there, and I'm grateful for the last 6 years of his life that I watched him rededicate his heart and life to the Lord. And watched him and actually my parents' marriage probably some of the best years of their marriage was those last 5 to 6 years. And so I'm grateful. My dad was a supportive person to my call in ministry. And that's part of why it's in my heart today to encourage you, make memories. Get pictures done with your dad. Let him know, like the video you saw earlier, all the other things you can do. Yeah, you can give your dad a macaroni art card. You can do all of it. I really like the toilet light, though, by the way. You can do all those things for dad. But ultimately, if you can just let him know how much you love him and how much they've impacted your life, it's probably the greatest gift that you could give. And so today I want to talk about the influence of a godly dad, because the influence of dads have been greatly studied. Here's some stats that will stagger you, because it really proves the point that manhood matters. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with violent anger disorders are from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent chemical abuse patients in drug treatment centers are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison are from fatherless homes. See, and a father's influence is disproportionate when it comes to their role in Western society. And just so that we're on the same page, I don't want to minimize what I'm speaking today, the mother's role, because the mother's role is incredibly important. And it's not it is not that one is more important than the other. They're both are incredibly vital. What is the matter is that God's designed roles for each of us, for the mom and the father, and they complement each other, and they work in tandem with one another, and it really reflects the nature, the person, and the heart of our God when they do work in unity together. And the mother's role will always be primary in the terms of intimacy, care, and nurture. And dads, the father's role will always be increasingly important to help be a guide to make in making decisions, adopting values, and this is statistically proven. Listen to this stat. According to data by Promise Keepers and the Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if the wife goes to church, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. However, when a father regularly attends, even if the mother does not, 66% of the children will attend church. And then when you get to the part when both the husband and wife attend church, 75% of the children will become regular attendees. So when you start to look at it statistically, manhood matters. Dads, you matter. You're critical to your family. That's why I'm grateful to be able to speak to the dads in the room today. And let's dig into this influence of a godly dad. Because you can be a male, but that doesn't make you a man. You can produce a family, but that doesn't make you a father. And I want to say this especially to the dads today. The way we live our lives, the way we live in our homes, will affect our children, and it'll affect your marriages, it'll affect our lives, and we'll see it'll affect future generations. And that's why it's vital. It's why I took a time out from Galatians to talk on this today. And I want to especially talk about how to be a godly father. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to give you three primary points and a few sub-points along the way. So let's get going on our journey on this Father's Day of how to be a godly influence in lives. First, a godly father leaves a legacy. See, a legacy that's important is, and it's so vital that you and I understand that we live today, and what we do today not only affects today, but it affects tomorrow. Not only affects the next few months, but I will tell you this, how you and I live has a generational effect. It'll affect our grandchildren, it'll affect our great-grandchildren. Dads, you are leaving a legacy. You're shaping the family line. You're shaping the family tree. How you live every day, you are doing it, and it'll affect your family for generations to come. So when we come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is at the end of his life, and what Moses is doing is he's having the nation of Israel start walking back through and watch God's faithfulness. And so after leading the nation of Israel through the desert for 40 years, and they're about to walk in the promised land, which God will not allow Moses to be the leader to do that. He's still helping the nation, reminding the people of the last 40 years, how God has brought them to this point, and he rehearses for them what God has done, and he reminds them about giving the law and giving the priority to the law for their children to find obedience and to really understand how to follow and worship God. Moses shares God's take that if they would be obedient to him, look at it, Deuteronomy, in fact, I'm going to bump just one chapter back before jumping into chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all my commands. If they did, they and their descendants would prosper forever. See, if you and I have a heart for God, if we have a heart to obey, if we have a heart to worship our God, there is a generational effect that will affect not only our life, but our kids' life, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. And it all is if we will turn to him. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, go there with me. This is how we as fathers can leave a legacy. Look at the first three verses. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons' sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. See, Moses shows us three things that we can do to leave a legacy for our children. First, that you may enjoy a long life. Look at it in verse 2. All the days of your life, and that your days may be long. See, Scripture over and over again talks about this. It talks about how when we obey, when we allow God's word and his leadership to reign in our life, watch what it does to our life. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 through 11. Fear the Lord, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. Here's another one. Proverbs 22, look at verse 4. A true humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and a long life. See, this isn't just Old Testament either, by the way. This is New Testament as well. Paul speaking to the Ephesians church. Look at it in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And it's interesting, Paul makes sure that that's noted. This is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. You will live a long life on this earth. See, listen, if you love your God, you're living for him, you're modeling godly wisdom, then you can give your children a legacy of a long life. Secondly, that it might go well with you. Look at verse 3. Right there it says, that it may go well with you. One of the great parts, I love how the Message version puts it, puts that part of the verse to it. It says that you'll have a good life, a life of abundance and bounty, just as God promised. See, one of the great things is that when we serve our God, life will go well. Too many times people ignore it, and it's why life doesn't go well. If life is nothing but hardship, if life is nothing but dead ends, take courage and find and hunker into your relationship with God, because you will find a blessing that even in the midst of dark moments, you'll find blessings, because God will bring a grace to that situation even in the darkest, deepest moments. Thirdly, that you might increase in a wonderful land. Back in verse 3, that you may multiply greatly as the God of your fathers has promised you. Dads, let me straight out ask, what type of legacy are you leaving your children? Are you leaving a legacy that brings long life, that helps your kids to know a life where things can go well, that they can have an increase greatly in this life into a wonderful land? And it's just not to visit it, but it's to possess it. What type of legacy are you living? And I just want to say, first off, dads, thank you for being here today. And I don't know where all the men are in this room, where you're at on your spiritual journey, but thank you, though, because you've made a great decision today to be in the house of God. And you might be new to this, and some might even barely be interested at all, but you need to know this is a huge part. Being here is huge. Just being in the presence of God is a massive win. And it makes a massive difference in your children's lives. And I think it says a lot about our Calvary Church. So good to see so many of our dads in this room today. As I was studying this, and this was very interesting, when God had me pivot on this, interesting stat, one of the lowest Sundays of attendance in the capital C church across America is today. Worse than Memorial Day, Labor Day. Today, across churches across America, attendance is way declined. I find that very interesting and grateful that it's not said of Calvary Church. I went back into our Excel sheet and was looking back over Father's Day over the last 10 years. And in COVID, interestingly, through a different weirdness, you throw COVID year out. But it is interesting. For Calvary Church, it isn't like our greatest days, but it's certainly not our lowest. It's one of our average days. And even looking at the crowd today, you're actually proving something even greater. This is a good Sunday. And so I'm grateful for the heritage that this church has and is showing. And so, dads, I just want to challenge you today. The legacy that you're bringing, your obedience to the Lord, brings value. And it's really a two-sided coin. Your obedience to the Lord or your lack of obedience determines what your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will know about the working of God in their lives. See, you're either creating a legacy for them that's a blessing, that's of favor, or you're setting the groundwork for a life of hardship, because what you do has a huge effect on them. This is an interesting story. Jonathan Edwards, who was a great revivalist preacher. In fact, he was a singular preacher, very influential in the very first great awakening in our nation's history. He preached this, some of you will be familiar with it, he preached this masterful sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it shook the whole area of New England. And massively. And Pastor Edwards was a godly man. He was a righteous man. But a study was made concerning what happened to his descendants. And listen to this. Of more than 400 of his descendants that they could track, that they were able to trace, listen to this. It includes, out of that 400, 14 college presidents, 100 professors. 100 of them had been ministers of the gospel, missionaries, and theological teachers. More than 100 were lawyers and judges. Out of the whole, there's close to 60 that had been doctors and many more that had been authors of a high rank of editorial journals. See, that's a legacy. So, Dad, may you leave a godly legacy. Secondly, a godly father loves God intensely. Look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind, and with all your might. See, we're to train up our godly children, but in order to do that, they need to see a godly parent. Or parents, preferably, who are completely, totally in love with God. See, parents who lead within. See, one of the great things is parents who lead within, who aren't asking their children to do things that they don't do themselves, who aren't saying to their kids, do these things when in fact I don't. But it's parents who live it on confidently. Moses gives us some instructions here on what it means to love God. And so here's some subpoints to this. First, parents are to love God with a sincere love. And we see this in verse 5. Watch these progressions. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. See, with all your heart. I mean, that's a sincere heart. Fact of the matter is, our kids know we're not perfect. They live with us. And they don't want to know that you're perfect because they already know you're not. One of the great things, though, that you can take confidence is what they do want to know is, what are you sincere about? What are you actually genuinely that moves your heart? And that's what they will tap onto, and that's what they will follow. See, they're not interested in what games you play. They're really interested in what motivates you. Secondly, parents are to love God with a selfless love. Look at that again, verse 5, with all your soul. See, that's the part people see, that you yourself are given over to God, and it's obvious in everything that you do in every part. It's obvious in your calendar. It's obvious in your checkbook. It's obvious in our speech. It's obvious in how we love God. It's how we treat others. How we treat God, how we serve God is a big deal. And you want to model that for your kids, that they can see what it looks like to see a man that loves God with all their heart. Thirdly, parents are to love God with a strong love. Look at it, that end of verse 5, with all your might. See, this is so important, Dad, and here's the bottom line. You cannot pass on to others that you do not possess. It's a great leadership principle, too. You can't pass on to others what you do not possess. And so here's the thing that kids care about more than anything else. And I really wanted to pass this on to my own kids, is that they would love God. I really could care less whether our kids went into ministry. I didn't want our kids to feel like they were raised in a different home, in the sense that, and it was going to be different. I'm a missionary, I'm a pastor, I'm a minister. So it should be somewhat different, but it shouldn't be greatly different from a Christian home. So whether my kids ever felt the call to ministry, which, praise God, our youngest one does, but I wanted both of them, regardless of what God would lead them to in their life, wanted them to know that there is a God that loves them and that their dad loves their God. And that the greatest thing I could pass on to them is that there is a God that will look out for them even when I can't. Because there would be a day that would come when I can't stand there and be next to him. Kind of hard to do even today when your kids live in Missouri and Washington, D.C. But I have a heavenly Father who's with them every moment. See, when a person loves God, everything else sorts itself out. It's one of the great pieces of advice, seniors. Everything else will sort itself out when you have your love priorities in right measure with your God. Third aspect this morning and final. That final part of being a godly influence is, thirdly, a godly father lives with spiritual intentionality. Look at verse 6. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Here's what it's saying, parent, and specifically to you as dads. You have a responsibility to impress them onto your children, to make an imprint on the minds of your children, the commands of the Lord. If you want your kids to be blessed, they have to have an understanding of those commands. And here's the great part. It's got to be seen of how you live it out, not just that you tell them what they are, but they can begin to see the imprint and how that is expressed out in your life. It's being able to capture the paradigm of God's word being expressed through your life. And so I know some of you are going like, how do I do that, PK? Because it's easy for you. You're a preacher. But I would say this, God's word is telling us, even in this passage, it doesn't matter if you're a preacher or not. Because it doesn't say in this passage, if you're a Levite or a high priest, then you do this in your family. No, it was a command for all of Israel, for all the fathers to do. So one of the great things is God is letting us be reminded that this can be done. And Moses gives us four ways that we can impress these commands onto the hearts of our children. First, we do it convictionally. It's got to be a conviction to you that this is important. Otherwise, one, it'll never get done. We have our to-do list, dads, right? If we're not having conviction to serve God, to spend time with him, to let him impress and work in our and change us from the inside out, and show that importance, our kids will not grab it. We have to live out our convictions. Look at verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Shall be on your heart. It'll have very little impact on their heart unless they first see it on you. Secondly, we need to do it consistently. What we're talking about here is, man, and I praise God for our early childhood, our kids' ministries that we have here. I love every aspect that Pastor Denise has brought here, and all the leaders that you serve here, serving our kids. Because here's the deal, we don't do babysitting here. I pray none of our ministries to our kids ever become a feel of having a babysitting, because we're not here to occupy space of time. But it's discipleship. And as a discipleship, as they go into youth ministry, that they continue to grow and understand this God, but it's not done at all to replace a parent. It's not these roles. We're here to support, to help strengthen of what's happening in your home. And so when we live our lives as parents consistently, it becomes a great support. Look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently. Diligently. It's not a one-time moment. It's repeating it again and again. And it's not this, I told you once, why don't you get it? It's coming back to them. It's repeating it. It's helping, God, help me to be creative. That in just any day, everyday moment, I can bring back your commands and be able to teach it with impact that our kids can remember. So how do I do it? How do I live this consistently? Look at this next part. It really bleeds to it. We do it conversationally. The other part of verse 7, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. See, when you talk to them, this doesn't have to be a weird deal, because you talk all the time. When you have conversations with your kids, you can steer conversations to spiritual outcomes. So as you go to a Marvel movie or you go to a superhero movie, Superman's out next month, who do you think is better, Superman or God? Who's stronger? And yeah, I know when teenagers get into high school, the conversations get really short. Like sometimes a couple words if you're lucky. But there's moments that when you continue to just stir, do not give up, parents. This is where conversationally, when you live a conversational life with your kids and you're living transparently before them, one of the great amazing things, and I even sit there and think back when we disciplined our kids, even in the midst of discipline, there was parts we'd go back in that conversation with them and have a conversation. So when they were sent to the room, and yes, there was moments they got spanked and they hated it. But rather than sit in anger or shame because of the discipline, you'd go back and start talking. Do you understand why we did the discipline? What was the moral reason why? Because we wanted to be able to help the kids understand the hurt, but learn from it, but also why? Why is this a big deal? Why did it rise to this? And plus, we wanted to be able to let them know, we love you. That, yeah, there's moments, mom and dad have to be tough, but we care. We love you. So parents, one of the great parts is conversations can happen at any moment, and you just need to be prepared. It can happen in the late night hours. It can happen in the early morning hours. Ours, for me and my boys, was when I was taking them to school. As we're fighting traffic through Springfield, and actually those become some of the great conversation moments as we're going to school. We would pop out a verse, and hey, what did this say to you? As we're driving. And it became great conversation moments that we'd even come back. But conversations and repeatedly bringing God's word back into conversations are major for us. I want you to notice this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. So this is later on in the chapter, verses 20 through 21. When your son asks you in time to come, so this is like in the future, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? So when they begin to ask you about the religious aspects, hey, why does our church do this? Hey, why is this? Sometimes those why questions drive us nuts because we got our, it's like, stop with the questions. But parents, take advantage of it. Verse 21, then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. See, as your kids ask questions, here's one of the great things. You can bring it back. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Let's look to see what God says about that. And sometimes you may not have that right away. So it's like, hey, we're going to come back to this. Let me do some researching and do some digging. And let's see what God's word says about this. And parents, we live in a day and age that any question, here's the great thing you can tell your kids about. Because the kids will have questions, then they go to the wrong sources to try to find answers. You need to embrace them to say, ask tough questions. And I say this to any adult, God's not offended by a tough question. When you have tough questions about God, you're trying to figure out who is this God. God is never offended by questions. He's more offended by the heart behind it. So if you're really genuinely wanting to kind of understand, God gets that motive. And you can ask anything. And one of the great parts is with this, there's great resources out here. Let me throw up, in fact, parents, I'll tell you this, I would screenshot this. I would take a picture of this with your phone. Some great websites that can help you in conversations with your kids. Access.org. I know Pastor Aaron has probably a bunch of others that he would recommend to you, and I encourage you to have a conversation with him. Access.org is a great, phenomenal website to help you to stay current on some of the latest slang that students can have, because literally that changes by the week anymore. What does that? So if you want all the drip, go to access.org. I did that purposely because I know half of the adults are going to be like, why is he talking about coffee? And it has nothing to do with that. But I encourage you, go to access.org, because they actually, you can insert some of the slang and it'll help you get some understanding of where they're coming from. But it has so much more. Parents, it actually has some great gospel-centered questions that could help you in your conversations with your kids. Gotquestions.org is great when it comes to helping you on some theology questions that might get thrown your way. The next two are personal ones for me. Josh.org is Josh McDowell. He's a great apologist. God blessed me in my last role to be able to spend several days with Josh different times. And probably my favorite time was going to Colorado and spending several days in the cabin where he wrote a lot of his books. But his son Sean McDowell has picked up the mantle. He has great information. Bible.org, Desiring God, Answers in Genesis.org. Great. These are just great resources for you to help you to answer questions when your kids throw you ones. Because here's the great thing. There is no bad question. And because in the lack of the vacuum, I see a lot of people, a lot of adults, will spiral with a distorted view of God and how he operates, how he works, because we're not willing to have conversations like that. And so having conversations is a huge part of showing love. Fourth and finally, we do it conspicuously. Look at verses 8-9. Worship team, if you'd come. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. See, these verses are saying that the word of God is prevalent in all you do. I mean, it's around. So it's prevalent in what you think, in your hands. It's in every aspect of your life. You write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. So let me ask you this. Is the word of God conspicuous in your house? Are there forms of God's word around your house? I mean, it could be a note card with a verse on it. It could be, some of you might have paintings that have a scriptural part to it. Are there symbols of what Jesus has done, or do you just have a lot of good art in your house? You know, and so what I'm saying is you don't have to have scriptural wallpaper with just verses on it. That would kind of be a little scary, I think. Unless it's a nice design, then it'd be kind of cool. But one of the great things is, do you have the Bible out? Not just to lay there so it collects dust, but it's there when you have the conversation that the kids see you. My kids saw me every, and this is not patting me on the back, it's just, this is what helped me, is as my kids would come down in our house in Nixon, Missouri, our last house, I would be in the family room, and one of the bathrooms our boys would shower in was right off of that room, but they would find me there because I'm the one wrestling them out of bed when they're ignoring their phone and their alarm. I'm the one getting them up. And so it was one of those, it's like, come on, get in the shower. But then I would go sit down as they're starting to run through their routine. I had my time with God's word, and I'm praying for them. I'm praying for me, praying for my day, inviting God to start my day with a, start my heart to devotedly live the rest of the day. And it's one of those things that I feel like I could, here's the part, I didn't want my kids to ever get to a point. Even today, I don't want my kids to see that when I'm reading God's word, that the only time I read it is so I can have a message on Sunday. That's wrong. I wanted my kids to be able to know that I had a conviction, a love for my God. And I wanted them to be able to see it and notice it. Dads, we could change the trajectory of your family tree. It's one of those parts. My dad should have followed in ministry. My grandfather walked away from God. He was an alcoholic. I did not want to pass that on to my kids. When I came to Christ, my life was free to be able to write a new story. Because God wanted to write a story on my life. I didn't have to live the life of my dad or my grandfather, but I wouldn't mind living the life of my great-grandfather, who was a circuit-riding preacher. My great-grandmother, who married a preacher. What legacy are you leaving your kids? On Father's Day today, one of the greatest decisions you could make is to pass on a godly influence. Which way will you go? What will you give your kids today? We make that decision. We come to that every moment. And so today, I pray that you get out and you read your Bible. I pray that you have a time where in prayer and worship before God, that you just allow him to transform you and empower you for a day of living. And may it be a legacy of relationship that your kids will want to pick up and follow in your footsteps. Because when they do, they're going to be blessed. They're going to prosper. They're going to succeed. And they're going to know that the hand of God is on their life and that they can pass it on to their kids. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every man that's watching today, not only here, God online, and I just thank you for their influence and their influence on future generations. God, this morning we pray for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon every man. Father, every man that is surrendered to you, may they feel the anointing of your Holy Spirit. God, the divine call, the divine purpose that you have placed on their life. And that, Lord, as they continue to surrender you, God, may their influence expand over their children. God, into the future, over their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. God, may it go beyond. Help us to live our lives. And may they see a faith in us, oh God, that they will want to know you. Help us, oh God, to continue to live a charactered life that people see you in us. With heads bowed today, dads, if you want to pass on a godly influence, it means this, you've got to have a relationship with God. That's what it, because this is what it means to be a follower of Christ, a Christian, is you don't become a Christian because you go to this church or any other church you go. You become a Christian because of your faith in Jesus alone. You don't get to heaven because you think Jesus is a nice guy and you cuss less than somebody else. It's because Jesus is transforming us from the inside out. We don't get to heaven because you're a good person, better than someone else. You get to heaven, not even because you try. You get to heaven. We see these things because of a faith in Jesus Christ alone. So with no one looking around, I just invite you today, if you want to have a godly influence, it starts in a relationship with Jesus. And if maybe today for the first time, or maybe you need to rededicate yourself to that relationship, that faith relationship with Jesus. If that's you, I just want to pray with you today. And would you just look my direction, and I want to pray with you if that's you today. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. I want everyone to say this prayer with me. For those who need to rededicate, or perhaps for the first time, trust in Jesus alone. Trust me, you do this, you'll watch an influence flow from your life. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin, doing life my own way. I give my life to you. Be my leader. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Change me. Give me an influence into the lives of others as you change me. In Jesus' name, amen.